helping me to be with the pain. And I've had similar experiences with trees too. And we've noticed that because research has been done with our participants who volunteered to be interviewed and surveyed, that they're reporting less pain after participating in our accessible nature well-being programs. There is something, and you talk about like the things that we can't see, there is something that we all co-create together in these programs. We're together for 2.5 hours. Like, that's a big chunk of time. We have a break in the middle and we end with the tea ceremony. Last time I was out with a big bonfire, Dave built it, and we offered white pine tea, and I described what it was smelling like and tasting like to our participants online, and all kinds of people participating and offering their gifts throughout the program. And we ended with one person, Karma, who gave this wonderful, beautiful blessing. And I said to her, like, I guess it was like the day before, you know, whatever you want to do is fine. She goes, oh yeah, I'm just going to meditate and see what comes up. And I was like, and I said to her, oh yeah, I meditated in the morning. I'm like, what are we going to do for tea ceremony? Because I usually create like a mandala. And I said to her, oh, Karma, guess what? I meditated. I came up with this idea of having this big bonfire outside. That's what came to me. And we came up with these beautiful words, and we co-create the program. We co-create this experience that we can't see all those things that connect us to each other, but it's just like those mycelium networks that's underneath the earth that connect the trees, right? And they support each other, nurturing, like offering some nutrients over here to this tree that needs it. And like, we're doing that for each other, and we can't see it, but we feel it, don't we, Charlotte?
Absolutely feel it. And the difference, you know, you've sat through things where people have met 6 times over 3 months to plan something that was going to be 2 hours. And you had a very exciting time of pre-planning, then having a preview where we went through the program, and it was so simple. And then it worked out where we really felt like we were in the room, not in these boxes, but everybody from different levels of challenges or different levels of communication, everyone was welcomed. So it made other people feel like, wow, but if someone who has to use a device, if someone has to have different types of hearing systems set up, if they can participate and be welcomed, I can be welcome too. So it helps you to be more patient, as opposed to some planning sessions that you're on with people and everybody's so uptight and they're mean to each other. I just love the example of every time that there's a forest bathing, there's so much love and there were no fights. So this process, when you said some things people take because they want all of the certifications and dots and things from the states, another state because they just want to improve their practice, this 2.5 hour, the accessible wellness programs, whether it's outside or indoors, whether it's all day or 3 hours of a day, it really helps people just see there's ways for us to cooperate and there's ways for everybody to have access and everybody to contribute. So I think it will make other people in other meetings and things that they're involved with be more compassionate, be more excited about making sure everyone can participate.
Yeah, and you mentioned having a bonfire. And I find that, well, we know that imagining something has a physiological impact on our bodies, okay? So if we're not in front of the bonfire or we're seeing it online and then we remember it and think about it later, it still has an effect, a physiological effect. So we can imagine being in the forest if we're not. We can imagine being at the ocean if we're not. We can imagine a big sky mind even when we feel very narrow and tight and anxious or irritated or whatever. And it changes everything, which I find really, really fascinating. So if we have access, everybody's had access to nature, hopefully a little bit, enough to be able to recall it. Or we can look at, you know, pictures or see things on screen now or on a movie or on television. And that can have the same kind of, we will have this a similar response as if we're actually there, which is really, really full of hope and gives us all agency that I think we didn't really know that we had.
Right.
I think it's very empowering when I describe some of the neuroscience behind that, you know, for participants who have restrictions physically, to know that they have options, they have choices, that they can be engaged in self-care in this way, and they can experience benefits, mm-hmm. that we know that they can experience benefits. And I find it so fascinating because people will say, oh, I was watching, because I create these nature videos, and many of them are either from the Ecowisdom Forest Preserve itself. So people develop like a relationship and emotional tie to that land. But I also went out to BC and had some people take some videos out there, and I took some videos. So people can either connect to one kind of nature or another. And they talk about how when they see something, they can smell it.
Yeah. It's great.
And then they talk about smelling things. Like, I see the fire, I can smell the smoke, right?
Yes.
And so it is fascinating where, you know, one sense is paired with another scent. And so we can trigger one with another. And then, it's just, I love the potentiality in that. It's so empowering for people who, you know, are trying to manage their self-care. And the other thing I love about forest bathing is it's free, right? Like, we can learn these techniques. I mean, it's an issue, right? Because most people with disabilities live below the poverty line. I'm sorry, but it's like, it's true. It's an equity issue. And so we can support each other. And like, that's a unique sort of model and approach that Ecowisdom is taking on, is like, we're using this as peer support.
Mm. I think the other thing that's great is, if we think about our introduction to literature, it's, everything is scary about the forest. You know, we have Smokey the Bear, we have Little Red Riding Hood. And so I think more and more inviting people to come to the session, talking about the sessions, help people to not be fearful of the forest, and cooperation, where, you know, there are Indigenous people that are sharing and teaching people about the roots and teaching people other ways to prevent fires, or to, you know, redirect rather than setting a fire. They have a practice where they set a fire to stop fires, but there are other practices. So I think just these gatherings and saying, wow, that much can be accomplished by a few people. Suppose we, on another weekend, just use this model and we went out to talk about XYZ, something that we can solve, not all the things we can't solve. It gives us a great hope that living with the climate in the future will be different from the dire things that people are predicting.
And we tap into this collective wisdom when we're quiet, when we're not so busy, so distracted, or so thinking that we can't connect. You know, I mean, that right there is it's like a tourniquet for any kind of opening of the heart. And so I often marvel, and I have since I was a child, at who came up knowing that this mushroom would cure this condition, or that this herb was okay to eat and this one wasn't. You know, I'm sure there were some deaths, but people, you know, we've connected through time, this wisdom, this knowing, this integration, this connection with nature has saved our species. But who were the first people that connected? I don't think it was one or two. I think it was many all over the world, probably at different places at similar times. But somebody had to listen. You know, when you talk about like Native American practices, that's a deep listening. Most of the Indigenous practices that I'm aware of involve incredibly deep listening, and maybe even plants to help them, plant medicine to help them deeply listen. But whatever it is, we receive when the channel is open. And so how do we open our channels? Partially through silence, you know, partially through just looking at the tree, or sitting on the beach and watching the ocean, just connecting.
How do practices like yoga help with that type of connection?
That's a good question. I never really used yoga to learn how to connect with my own body on one level. It was a very micro level. Just really being able to feel, to be in my body and feel the tip of a toe, or the, you know, right shoulder blade, or exactly where my breath was at any given moment, and if it was on the right side or the left side. So it was real micro levels of somatic connection, but it wasn't a connection of the heart. yoga practice wasn't for me. And so when I started to practice meditation, that expanded my connection with my body, or between my body, heart, and mind exponentially, you know. So yoga was a way for me to just be in the body, but it was, for me anyway, it was missing the mental emotional component that meditation added. Like, I connected to myself, how I was feeling about my body, for instance, which was fairly brutal at first, because I didn't like my body because it was in so much pain and all I wanted to do was change it or get out of it. And over time and many retreats, I was able to, and you don't have to do many retreats to do this, but this is just was my path. I connected to, okay, I have a body that isn't so well and is in, you know, fairly acute chronic pain most of the time. And it's mine, but it's also a body that's experiencing this. And so there was the personal side of it, but there was the non-personal aspect of having a body that wasn't well and that was in pain. And so it gave me more of a view rather than no view of how I could be in a body that was not well and with pain. And that opened my imagination, actually. So it wasn't all about me. It was actually just noticing the phenomenon of nature that a body is. The body is a phenomenon of conditioned nature. All things are that we know of. So I had to get to know that to be able to then eventually take care of myself and not take it personally and blame myself for what I was feeling, you know, because that caused, you know, a great wedge in my heart. So yoga practice was invaluable. I still practice it every day, but I do more restorative poses and practices that help balance my nervous system. And I do a lot of breathing practices, because that to me is the most important thing that we can do, is connect to the breath and practice different kinds of breathing practices to balance the nervous system, to connect to the vagal nerve, you know, all the aspects that help us feel a little bit better and connected in general. Breath is quite sacred in that way, can be. Even for people that don't breathe very well. And this is where imagination has come in. You know, when I was teaching in hospitals, there were people that were in bed, you know, couldn't move, were ambulatory, had lots of different conditions, lots of comorbid conditions. People that had lots and lots of different kinds of trauma, different addictions, you know. And, you know, how do you offer things when one person has COPD and one person was choked and has that trauma in their body, and one person, you know, feels like they can't do anything but take the drugs or the medicines that have been given, you know, how do we try to meet each other in those environments and with those different conditions? Well, I think it's through imagination. That's what I found anyway. And so I would teach people how to imagine their breath going down to their feet. Now, this seems normal these days, but this was, you know, 30 years ago. And, you know, some people looked at me side eye and some people crossed their eyes, but I would say, you know, imagine breathing into your feet, imagine breathing in and out just to the right side of your body, things like that. Well, we're not really just breathing in and out to the right side of our bodies. And we're not just breathing, or we aren't really breathing into our feet. What are we doing? We're moving awareness. And when you move consciousness and awareness, you're connecting wherever it is that you're imagining that you are. There's a connection there. That's what changes everything. And that's empowering. That's empowering. We can connect to any part of our body that we want to, but a lot of times we need support and ideas of how to do that. And that way we might be, you know, ambulatory, but we're moving awareness. We're creating a sense of agency. We develop agency. Oh, I can soften the tissue over here in my left shoulder if I really breathe, or imagine I'm breathing into it. Or I'm going to bring a cloud into my chest so that my chest softens. Or I'm going to imagine the salt air coming into my belly and revive, you know, the cramping in my belly, or, you know, what have you. This is a huge benefit and accessible to anyone.
This is so great. I just am really enjoying listening to you speak, Jill. I remember this one participant in our programs. We have three central invitations, nature connection invitations, and the second one is a nature-based meditation, guided meditation. And so we did this one where it was a guided meditation on the beach, and the sand was warm. And the sound of the waves were there, right? And I had some images up, but, you know, just a lot was just letting people use their imagination and find their way there on the beach, whatever kind of body they had, you know, just sort of saying, it's up to you how you're connecting with this warm sand, but whatever makes sense to you, right? Toes, yeah. It might be your hands. It might be you're laying down. Maybe you're in your wheelchair and you're just looking out at the sand or whatever it is.
Yeah.
This one woman who had multiple back surgeries, and she's like, I didn't think it was going to be possible to have pain relief in my back, but it happened. Right. She left that energy, right? That openness, she found a way to release something.
That's right.
Connection.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful. When I wasn't well initially and I was doing a lot of meditation practice, I couldn't visualize below my navel. It was kind of like a dark hole. That's where the pain was and the chronic condition. And I thought, well, what if I could imagine flower petals in my belly? You know, let me try to do that and just sort of change the scene in a way. And I tried and I tried and I tried and I wasn't able to. And then I just kept trying. It was like I was superimposing my imagination on my body. It was almost like a little bit of the flowers were in my mind, not necessarily in my body. So I don't want anybody to think that I actually saw them in my belly necessarily. But I started picturing my belly as a bowl, a glass bowl with flower petals at the bottom of the bowl. And with my breath, and of course, I'm imagining this breath, I would try to swirl the flower petals around in the bowl. Again, I wasn't really, you know, picturing it in my belly. I was picturing a glass bowl. I was picturing the flower petals. I was imagining my breathing doing this. And little by little, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm healing. And it wasn't long after that, I had not had peristalsis for a number of years, that it came back.
Wow. I was
picturing these bright colored flower petals in my belly over and over and over again. And what I think I was doing really was I was conditioning my body to be different than it was. Now, even if I hadn't started peristalsis again, or I hadn't relieved pain, you know, for moments and moments that I did, it wouldn't matter because it made me feel better. And it was something I could do at any given moment. And I think partially the reason I felt better was because I was softening.
Yeah.
You know, I was softening. When we're in pain, we tighten. Emotional pain, mental pain, physical pain, all aspects of pain, we contract. And that's not good for any of our system. And so when I would be using my imagination in different ways, I was softening. I was opening. I was widening the body, my mind, my heart. And I think that helps us to heal some, whether it's exactly as we will hope, who knows, but I do think the sky is the limit. So we can't really let someone tell us you're never going to heal or this is never going to be like this, because then that automatically does affect us. Why not? Okay, let that go. Say, well, okay, that's okay if you think that. I don't need to think that. Let me play around. Let me see what I can do. There's great freedom and amazing growth in that. Amazing. We've known it. I think the three of us know that, right?
Yes, and the exciting thing is being able to share.
You know,
the media that we have now, people can share through a Zoom, we can share through an afternoon in the park, but the more people know that there is power in their imagination, the more people know that when you finish a surgery and a team comes out and tells you, well, it's going to be 3 months and it's going to be really hard, that we have a better answer. And just the more we can let people know about programs like Eco Wisdom, know programs about the contemplative photography, contemplative, all types of contemplative, just thinking about yourself, that it's worth it to think about yourself. It's worth it to imagine. The better, you know, the better we can make each other's and other people's lives be, because people have grown to be so fearful of pain because they're these people that just start. So we need to be the interceptors to make these kinds of conversations available, that people don't have to go and spend $10 to get to hear us talk, that they can, through the radio stations, through the podcast programs we present, they can turn in and they can learn. Going to your websites, I'd like both of you to tell your websites again so that anyone that hears a part of this and wants to know more, they would be able to connect.
Jill?
Sure. My website is Jill Satterfield, my name.org. And I think, Charlotte, I just want to stress one thing that you said that's really important for everybody to hear over and over and over again, is that we can give ourselves permission to be maybe slightly different than what we've been told or taught. And that permission is what gives us the connection, not only a connection to ourselves, but to each other, because there is no normal.
Right.
Get rid of that idea.
And I think family and friends who come to visit someone, that they also have permission to ask for music, to ask if you could bring a plant in. Sometimes people put themselves so much under, oh, but the doctor said, but oh, you have agency, you have a mouth, you can say. You know, research has shown that hearing music from the forest or seeing pictures from the forest help people to feel better. That just using agency, that we have these inalienable rights in a democracy. And so one of them is to speak up for these things that are other beneficial, not alternative or all the other words that maybe I had a doctor tell me after talking about my mother's cancer, and I said, what about nutrition? He said, oh, if you want to throw a little broccoli on the plate, I don't mind. I wish that moment to be Muhammad Ali. Because it was such so snide. But I think having the bounce back, the more people hear about, you know, these programs, hear what you're doing, look on websites, like we're going to hear the Eco Wisdom website again, that you have more that you can bring to the conversation. You have a right to bring things like that to the conversation as a supporter of someone, of yourself, but of someone else who might be going through pain and suffering and could have an option to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know we need to wrap up. I just want to say that, you know, one of our recent EcoWisdom community gatherings where we pull together our guides and we hear how people are using their guide training. One of our guides is using what she's learned to support people through eco grief. So she's incorporating into nature ecology walks but using the mindful nature connection to sustain engagement, because they were noticing with their organization that people were getting burned out and leaving. And so people, it's really taken off. That's one thing that's happened. And another person was talking about bringing a plant into a hospital setting where this woman is in isolation, has contagious, difficult to treat tuberculosis, contagious. So is in isolation for months in the hospital. And so our guide is there bringing in plants, bringing little pieces. What do you call the, like the little piece? And then you have the roots, the tap roots that come and the clippings. Right. And so it's all about like nurturing, right? Nurturing. She's engaging this woman in nurturing for this little plant and then watching it grow and using it as a centerpiece, a beautiful, living, green, you know, relationship with this green, energetic plant. You know, these are things we can do. We can bring this into our lives, and we can bring it into the lives of our loved ones when we see that they're in a medical crisis or they're in an emotional, whatever it's going on, right? So we can again sort of push away these dominant societal norms and say, yeah, but what about you know, how about we do this instead, or we do this not instead, but in conjunction with.
Right.
Often the case is right. We want some nature sounds. We want a room with a view of a tree, you know, like these kinds of things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sliver of sky. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Really soft.
Carrie, again, share how you connect with EcoWisdom.
Our website is ecowisdom.ca. And I'm also on Instagram. So it's ecowisdom_forest_preserve. Yeah. So I talk about my life in the forest, and share photos and videos. Yeah, there.
And the photos and videos can show you deer running in the dark, because they've got lights posted outside that capture things that you don't have to wait hours to standing with the camera to see.
That's right. We've got like 3 field cameras. We move them around different parts of the property. So we got wolves. We're showing wolves the other day.
Oh, I should say, you know, I have on my website a practice called Breath of Nature, which is imagining breathing in the ocean air or forest or, you know, clear, crisp sky at the top of a mountain, and moving it to different areas of the body to help promote some softness, some rejuvenation, some regeneration.
So the name of that, if they're going to your website and they're looking for it.
There's a page of recordings, audio recordings, and that one is called Breath of Nature.
Perfect.
That's
wonderful. What a lovely gift. Thank you so much. I'm sure that members of our community will be very interested in looking that up and being guided by you in that way.
Pleasure.
Well, I'm grateful to have been in the presence of hearing and imagining you validating that it's all right to imagine. It's a wonderful part of healing. Talking about the community that evolves when people that are, all of us are challenged in some way, but when we come together and we share the abilities we have, miracles can happen. A lot of mountains can be moved. So if you're out there wondering, what can you do? Listen to this program, go onto the websites, look out for where there's going to be another nature, accessible nature wellness program. And do you have a program or series of classes coming up, Jill, that people might
want to? I do, yeah. In December, I have 5 days of very short practices, hopefully very accessible, breathing practices that utilize the imagination, but also are soothing for the central nervous system, and a guided meditation practice. And that's on my website under workshops and classes. Yes, I do lots of different programs. It's all up there, but that one is coming up to help us sort of more gracefully glide into what might be holiday season where somebody lives, or just being in an environment that, you know, maybe isn't your most comfortable or fun with families, if that's the case, but different things that we can do for ourselves that which will really radically change the day. It'll change the way we are internally, which changes how we are with who, whatever is in our environment. So yeah, five short accessible practices to help us be with what is, whatever that what is.
That's 45 minutes over 5 days, right?
That's right. Each day is 45 minutes. Yeah. They're short.
Perfect.
Short. Yeah.
That'll be of real interest, I think.
And they'll be recorded. So if you miss a day, you can listen to it later, and you also have access to the recordings, all the recordings.
Awesome.
It'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us today for EcoWisdom Conversations on how you can enjoy better self-care and how you can join with others to make the world a better place, to imagine a better world through living, through your imagination, your faith, your spirituality, and just your willingness to learn and share what you have heard. I'm Charlotte Farrell, the host, and I'll see you again, hear you again next time on EcoWisdom Conversations.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time. Love Time.